If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. I want to read a passage of scripture there. Judges, chapter 6. And as we talk about facing the impossible today, and if we're a believer in Christ, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we believe that all things are possible with God, but sometimes our faith needs help. And I believe that God has given us things in scripture that will help us to see where other people walk through the same path and needed God's grace and God's strength to face the impossible. So let's look at the book of Judges here. And the book of Judges is a low spot in Israel's history. And it's a back and forth thing. They would live for God for a while, be faithful to God's commandments, then they would backslide, and then they would go off into idolatry and serve other gods, and God would have to bring judgment upon them, and then God would raise up a judge that would be used to draw them back to the spiritual foundation that they were founded on. And so there's a verse that describes the whole time of the judges, and that is in chapter 21:25. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's not a good place to be in, because if we don't have God to lead us to do what is right in his eyes, then all that is left is people follow their own carnal nature. But let's notice Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And if you're behind on your Bible reading, you can catch up right now, because I'm going to read several verses here. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves dens and caves and strongholds which were in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that God, or the Lord, sent a prophet to the children of Israel and who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here. I pray until I come and bring you out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait till you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat with unleavened bread and an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat with and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Father, I pray your blessings upon the word today. Anoint your servant as he speaks. God, anoint us all to hear and to receive, God, from you what we need from the scriptures for the word of God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Israel had been overtaken by Midian because of their unfaithfulness to God. God had made so many promises to Israel that if they would be obedient to him and obey his commandments, Ten Commandments, that they would be prosperous and their enemies would flee from them and they would have no trouble taking Canaan's land. But the opposite happened because Israel was not faithful to God, and so God allowed people to overtake them to bring them back to him. And so at this time, the Midianites came and they would harvest the crops for Israel. Israel would plant and they would be ready to harvest their crops, and then the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come in and they would destroy their crops or take all their crops, and they would ravage the land, their donkeys, their oxen, all that they had, and they would leave Israel completely impoverished because of this. But the reason for the difficulty that they were in, it was not that God didn't care for them or didn't love them. He loved them very much. But they were in idolatry, and they broke the first two commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. They had done both. And they had lived in disobedience to God, and that was the reason why that they were in the mess that they were in. In verse 8 says that the Lord sent a prophet of Israel and said to them, thus says the Lord God, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you from the Egyptians. And God did all of that for them with mighty signs and mighty wonders. God destroyed all the gods of Egypt, the Egyptian gods, and every plague in Egypt was a work of God against to show Egypt and Israel that the gods of Egypt were not gods at all. And so this time these people came up and they spread out. The Bible says they were as locusts. They covered the face of the earth. There were so many of them. And they came up and they would just completely impoverish Israel and steal everything that they had. And otherwise, if Israel had been faithful to God, the blessing of God would have been upon them. But it wasn't. And during this time, God would raise up a judge, somebody who would lead the people back to himself, and somebody that would lead Israel back to obedience to God's commands. And Gideon would be called by God to deliver Israel from the impossible. And he would be called to face the impossible. He would be called to trust God instead of what he saw. And so we find here that God begins to speak to them, verses 11 through 13. Let's notice in our text there. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Okay, the angel of the Lord here is what we'd call a theophany, a pre-incarnate Christ, a picture of Christ before he was known in the New Testament as the Son of God and the Son of Man. And Jesus never did become anything less than the Son of God or the Son of Man. He's eternal. But he's seen as an angel of the Lord here, not a regular angel, for God created the regular angels, but the angel of the Lord many times in the Old Testament refers to Christ in his pre-incarnate state. And here he had a word from God, and the word from God was, the Lord is with you, verse 12. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. He didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't. He saw nothing that was good. He had no faith. He had no peace of mind. All he could see was the Midianites completely destroying and impoverishing all of his people. All he could see was theft, death, destruction, and poverty. He didn't have much hope. It would take an act of God for Gideon to have hope and for God to give Gideon the faith that he needed to overcome and to be victorious and to face the impossible. It still today takes God to help us to face the impossible. Everybody goes through things in their life that they see no way out of, that they see that are impossible. But I can tell you from the words of Jesus, with God, all things are possible. Okay? And so Gideon asks the question here, where are all the miracles that I hear about? Where are all the miracles that people have told me, y'all coming out of Egypt and God brought us out of Egypt and brought us to Canaan's land and God destroyed all the enemies in Egypt? And where are all these stories? Where are they now? Verse 13, Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles, which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So Gideon was not very hopeful. He wasn't full of faith. He was actually full of fear because he knew that he would be destroyed and the people would be destroyed if there was not an act of God somewhere. And yet his faith was weak. His faith was low here. And when people get in where they see no way out, you know, there's always some bright person that comes along and says, you know, it'll be all right. God's with you. You're a mighty warrior of God. You're going to be all right. But when you're in the depths of despair, you don't want to hear somebody else tell you that. You need assurance from God and not from somebody that just said, "God told me to tell you." But now they are surrounded by a huge, powerful army, armies that are capable of completely annihilating their race. And they're faced with impossible odds. And here Gideon and Israel would have to understand that they were faced with the impossible. But they would also have to realize that the God that they served, if they were faithful to him, was a God where nothing was impossible. But they had to face it. And I'm sure Gideon could say, we have seen great miracles. We read about the great healings that you had and the great deliverances we had when we came out of Egypt. And all this type of stuff. But where's God now? And you know, in our own day and age, we look at things and I wonder many times. I've got two great volumes of book there in my office that tell me the great healings in the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth and many like him and Maria Woodworth Eder and just some great healing that took place back in the 50s and 60s and just a wonderful work of God. And God did things and then I'm asking, what about now? But if I'm really honest with myself, if we're honest with ourselves, if we begin to review our life that we've really lived for God, when we've been faithful to God, God has done mighty and powerful miracles and things even in our day and time. And so we don't have to look at God and say, "Where are you, God, now?" God hadn't changed. God hadn't quit doing great and mighty and powerful things. People drift from God, but God does not change. He doesn't need to change. He's perfect always. He's still the healer. He's still the miracle worker. He still has all authority in heaven and of earth. He's not lost any of his authority or power. And it hadn't changed. Who he is hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe we don't see what we want to see today because maybe it's because the church has drifted so far from God. God has not drifted from being who he is. Maybe in our own situation here, maybe the God of money has taken God's place. Maybe the God of self has taken God's place in many lives. The God of fleshly desires. The God of false doctrines that amount to nothing. And perhaps in the church world today, maybe the altar of God hasn't been repaired and used in a long time. And maybe there's a lack of repentance. Not maybe, there is a lack of repentance in the church world today. And like Israel here, maybe the church needs to come again to the altar and say, "God, I need you." I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church in Galatia, where he said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Paul realized that really to live this Christian life, he had to crucify self. He could no longer serve the God of self. He could not serve the God of money. He could not serve the God of the flesh. He could not serve the God of false teachings and false doctrines. He had to come to an altar and say, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died to my old life of sin. I have died to what I used to be, and I'm going to live for God from here on out. And as God gave him the grace and the strength, he endured prison life. He endured shipwreck. He endured many things, but the God of grace was always there with him, and he was crucified with Christ. And Paul preached this gospel even to the day that his life was taken as a testimony. And for preaching the gospel, he became a martyr for Christ, for preaching the gospel. And maybe the lack of the altar, no doubt, and the gods that we've created in our society today, maybe that's the reason we hadn't seen the works of God that we want to see. Probably part of the reason why is answered there. Or the question why. We believe God is all-powerful, concerned about his people, but still bad things happen to good people sometimes, and that's not always because of sin. Some things are simply trials we go through that are not sinful behavior, and there's not really a great explanation for it. Have you ever been faced personally with the impossible? You would tell me yes. And we see here idolatry in Israel, failure to keep God's commandments, and worship of the one true God had been long gone from them. And they were not faithful to worship one true God anymore or any longer. Part of this was because of society that they lived in. And God had sent them there to be an instrument of judgment upon the Canaanites, but yet somehow or another, they fell into the lifestyle of the Canaanites, and God would have to judge them and send judges throughout the land at various times to bring them back to him. And I wonder today, you know, God still wants his people to meet together and worship. God still wants the church to be what he called it to be. And God still wants the church to glorify God and praise God and worship God in everyday life. And also God wants us not to forsake the Sabbath. Originally the Saturday was, but the seventh day is when Jesus was resurrected. Man, on Sunday. But the Bible tells us, and the Word of God, the inspired Word of God tells us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. But so much more, as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The day of the coming of the Lord. Jesus is going to come one day. We don't need to forsake God, forsake his house, don't need to forsake worship of God, but our worship needs to be sincere in spirit and in truth. Amen. And so that we'll have the presence of God, we can walk with God's presence. God can live in us. We can walk with him. We can serve him. We don't have to ever be alone. We don't have to walk in fear and again troubled all the time what might happen or could happen. We serve a God that knows everything, that's been everywhere, that's walked scores of people through impossible things, and he'll walk you through if you'll put your faith and trust in him. Amen. Praise God. But you know, there's things that God won't bless. God won't bless filthy lifestyles. God won't bless fornication. He won't bless theft. He won't bless the worship of things in the place of God. And God really doesn't respond to the part-time believer. The believer that says, not really a true believer, but says, you know, God, I'll call on you if I need you. Otherwise, you know, I just really don't want you to be a part of my life. I'll just, if I get in a tide, I'll call on you, God. Can we expect God to respond to something like that? I don't think so. God has not called us to be faithless. God has called us to be faithful. Amen. God has called us to live for him and to walk with him and serve him all our days. When we get saved, we don't just give a part of our lives to God, we give our complete life to God. And God is in charge of our lifestyle, our behavior from that point on. We surrender to him. Praise God. And so if you're facing the impossible, you need a word from God. And that word from God is, if you'll just be faithful to God, God hadn't changed, and God will continue to work and to live and help you in your life. Secondly, we see here in facing the impossible, there was a man sent from God. In verse 14, then the Lord turned and said to him, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And so Gideon would be a man that was sent by God. And God's always chose a man to work through. As a matter of fact, God became man to work and to minister to man through his son. And here, Gideon, he didn't have a lot of faith. He didn't have any faith. And he says he didn't have faith and assurance that God had called him, that he was going to be able to do this. Lord, I can't do this. And as if he needed to explain something to God in verse 15, and God needs no explanation. He already knows it all anyway. Sometimes he needs us just to admit that we're not as high and mighty as we think we are. Only he's high and mighty. And so we see that Gideon talks to him here, and he says, so he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan, my family, is the weakest and is in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. God, Gideon was saying, God, you realize you don't have much to work with here. As if God didn't already know that. God already knew that. But you see, he had to come to a place of faith. And he would say, Lord, you know, I'm not like Moses. You know, God, you knew Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I'm just not that close to you, God. I want to be, but I'm no Moses. So there was no faith here. Because you see, faith and assurance has to come from God. You can't just decide to have faith. God gives faith. And it says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. And the promise for the impossible is in verse 16, and the Lord said to him, you know, here this man is weak, he didn't have any faith. He said, I'm the least likely to succeed in my senior class. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. I want to tell you, Gideon was a long ways from believing that. You're going to defeat this army that's spread out, more numerous than locusts taking out a crop. You're going to defeat them as if you were only one man. Because you see, with God, all things are possible. And God doesn't need great numbers, and God doesn't have to have our assistance, and God doesn't have to have anything. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and God can anoint and put his spirit upon a man, upon a person to conquer the impossible. And whatever you're facing in your life that may seem impossible, I want to tell you the God that we serve today is greater and more powerful. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He is powerful. He's mighty. He will walk with you. You're his child. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not going to abandon you. Hallelujah. So we see there was a man sent from God here for the impossible. And God tells him here, says, Have I not sent you? Man. God is saying, there's not a powerful army that sent you, Gideon. You know, you didn't have the backup of all the Democrats and Republicans and Independents. They didn't send you. God said, I have sent you. That's a huge difference. Praise the Lord. God isn't limited by numbers. Gideon may have been weak, but the God of Gideon was not weak. And he wasn't weak, and God is still not weak today. And if we'll call upon the Lord and wait upon him, you'll see that God is still strong today as he's always been. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is not weak. He's not lost his power or lost anything. He's still God, the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will help you. He will walk with you. And God can speak to you just like he spoke to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you. Amen. Also, we see, last of all here, that Gideon wanted a sign from God. There's been a lot of times when I wanted a sign from God. But there's been a lot of times when I've gotten a sign from God. And that's usually through His Word, through the Bible. He'll speak something to me. And He would say something like, just as I was with Gideon, I will be with you. Or if I read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews how that God helped all of those heroes of faith there, God would turn around and speak to me and speak to you and says, you know, I'm still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. I'm still the God of Noah. I can still do things today. And God assures you through His Word that He's still working on your behalf and loves you. Praise the Lord. So Gideon here asked for a sign from God. Verse 17, he said to him, if I have now found favor in your sight, show me a sign that is you who talks with me. And Gideon, he was thinking, you know, our God is worthy of offering and sacrifice, and that's the way we get to God, by sacrifice. And Gideon says to the angel of the Lord, if you'll just wait here, I need to go prepare an offering for you. Amen. And so it wasn't the kind of offering that we think about today. It wasn't silver or gold or anything else like that. It was a offering of food would be in this particular one. And Gideon tells the angel of the Lord here, do not depart from here, and I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he, the angel of the Lord, said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat with unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in the pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them to him. Okay, now Gideon is looking for a sign when he's facing the impossible. So God responds to Gideon's request here. He waits for him. And then the angel of the Lord does something that's supernatural here. And God can appear as a man and just in human form, just like you and I. God can appear that way, and He did many times in Scripture, and He does here. And so the angel of the Lord said to him, verse 20, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Now, that doesn't look like a wonderful offering to offer to the angel of the Lord. But it was probably the best that Gideon had to offer. And that's what God wants from us. He wants our best. Amen. He doesn't want leftovers. He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so the angel does a beautiful thing here. Verse 21, the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Beautiful thing. The fire came up out of the rock and consumed the sacrifice. That was a sign that God had accepted the offering that Gideon had made to God. And I want to tell you, of course, Christ is the final offering to God, and God accepts His Son. Amen. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's the reason we live for Jesus. We walk with God. We serve God. Amen. And so we don't leave God out of anything. We go in God's name, in Christ's name. And so the angel departed out of his sight. Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Gideon had seen, he realized he had seen God face to God and even survived. And so that was certain assurance that he was going to overcome the Midianites. The impossible faced him, but it gave certain assurance. And Gideon's faith would be built right here. And he would be able to know, I can go and face the Midianites. I can face anything because the God of the impossible has made it possible. And I'm not going to fail. And I'm not going to fail. And God's not going to fail me. by showing us by circumstance, God speaks again that the world cannot produce the answer to man's problems. Mankind will never produce the answer to society today. And man can never answer to the mess that our world is in today, because it's impossible. It takes God. But God hadn't left us. And we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our police. And we need to pray for our cities and states. And I'm not trying to get political here, but I'm telling us that this nation that we live in needs the God of the Bible back. And you and I need the God of the Bible. And we need Christ, and we need the Holy Spirit to walk with us and talk with us and infill us and overflow us and refill us so that we can face whatever society has to offer. I want to tell you, it's not too big for the God that we serve. And with God, all things are possible, my friend. You just take the shield of faith. It'll quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You take the staff in your hand. You begin to walk with God and live for God and serve God. And what may seem impossible is never impossible with God. You just walk with God and live for Him. And God will show Himself mighty in your behalf. You can face the impossible. Amen.